Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline is Paul Emmy. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today, man? What's going on?
Still a bit sad from Saturday night, but otherwise doing well.
Which I can agree with. At first it sucked, and then I thought to myself, this isn't so bad. This is not the worst thing in the world to ever happen. And I'm not that I'm okay with it. It's that I appreciate where we are, if you want to call it the process. Albeit in baseball,
sure,
the process and the results, when you get that far, can be fleeting, can be a long time before you get back again. So I understand there's an anxiety there by many, but I'm not overwhelmingly concerned with the lack of productivity down the stretch. I kind of just enjoyed it, I guess is the best way to put it. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and like I saw the comments from Mark Attanasio where, you know, back in the previous NLCS run, it kind of felt like that was the end because of, you know, Prince Fielder going to leave and Zach Greinke soon to leave. This is more of a beginning. So there's hope now that I don't think there was at that time.
So let me ask you this: moving forward with the we'll say the Packers and the other side of the coin. Now that we start to put our attention on the Green Bay Packers,
yeah.
How much I watched that LA game yesterday, man! Holy mackerel! I tell you what, that's a damn good football team, boy. I know Mike McCarthy spoke today, and Mike McCarthy's takeaway from the self-scout, which I found. I can't say comical, but to say that, what was the big thing you took away? And he said, well, we need more attempts in a run game. That's it? I don't know. I kind of shook my head.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that first, because I think comical is a fair word. What I was going to say to you was, wouldn't it be nice if your job was during your off week to kind of analyze, and what you came back with was like the most obvious thing that you're not doing well? Right? Like, we self-scouted. We spent all these hours and we spent all this time self-scouting. And, you know, we just need to run the ball more.
Right.
Like, just listen to the Bill Michaels show for a couple minutes and you could have had any number of people tell you, hey, you should run the ball more. And you can save all the time self-scouting. It's a very painfully obvious realization that I find it surprising and odd that he kind of chose that as his like moment of reflection. And
right,
I don't know if it concerns me that that's his big takeaway, but maybe something close to that. I mean, to your point about the Rams, I don't know if you've mentioned it or if you saw it in the Aaron Rodgers while healthy era of the Green Bay Packers, they have never, ever, ever gone into a game when Rodgers is healthy as a bigger underdog than they are Sunday. Did you see that story?
I did, yes.
8 points, and Rodgers has never been an underdog of more than 8 points when he's been healthy. I mean, how far things have come so quickly. The Los Angeles Rams are a juggernaut, and the Packers, with healthy Aaron Rodgers, with, you know, year 13 of Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, this team is an 8-point underdog. I mean, and, you know, and I think it's fitting, Bill. I mean, you asked me before the bye, during the bye, what is there to make you think that this team is going to turn it around? And, you know, I half-jokingly said blind hope or blind faith. And it's I think you're starting to see that reflected in some of these stats that would normally surprise you. And part of that is credit to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, part of that is credit to the Rams. But, you know, they are being led by a 33-year-old coach, by a 23-year-old quarterback. You know, obviously Todd Gurley is great, and they have a lot of great players in that defense. But the Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers have really, you know, by the failures of Ted Thompson, by the failures of some different personnel situations, have let other teams really pass them by in the NFC. And I think you've seen the changing of the guard happen really, really, really fast, where these two teams have really come and come from different directions. And again, just because it's an 8-point line, it has nothing to do with who's going to win Sunday. The Packers could totally go in there and win because they do have Aaron Rodgers and because they are coming off a bye and had all this time to reflect and self-scout. But it's a very interesting change of pace to have healthy Aaron Rodgers go on the road and be that far of an underdog. And I think it just speaks to maybe the direction that the Packers were headed in prior to this bye, and now they have to correct it and show that they are better than the team they showed in the first 6 weeks.
You know, the other thing that I find interesting is that people look and go, boy, I tell you what, Gutekunst and this. And I'm like, wait a minute. I understand that he was under Ted Thompson. I understand that he's been a part of the organization. But he wasn't the guy that was specifically making the decisions. So for as much as people want to say, well, I can't believe he didn't do this, you can only fix one or two holes at a time. You can't just replace a team and say, okay, we're great now. Khalil Mack would have been, okay, our defense is much better now. But yep. It wouldn't have been great now. I think it's going to take a little time. The problem is that, and really this is going to be a question more so for the offseason when we see whatever the outcome of this season is. The question is going to be, how many years will it take you to get the team really Super Bowl ready while you know, how many years did you wait too long to say, Ted, this isn't working. We need to do something else. Because you've got a lot of guys that are mediocre being counted upon to be more than mediocre, above average. That might even be simplifying it too much. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So, okay. So to answer your question, let's try to break down maybe how many years were wasted. 2010, they win the Super Bowl. Okay. 2011, 15-1, you know, a lot of circumstances, you know, certainly led to the New York Giants coming in and beating the Packers that year. So you're not going to go into 2012 making drastic changes after going 15-1.
Correct.
Okay. 2012 happens. 2013 happens. 2014, you are, 99.7% likely to win that game in Seattle and go to the Super Bowl.
And you let it slip away, right. And that was, that was the game, and I said it to time, until they go back to another Super Bowl, we will continuously come back to that game. That will haunt this regime, that will haunt this coaching staff forever until they get at least back to another Super Bowl, and it has.
Yes, and the players know, especially someone in Rodgers' position, knows how difficult it is to get back to that moment. And, you know, Rodgers, in my experiences, Bill, was always fantastic to deal with before a loss, after a win. Didn't really matter. But that locker room that I was in after they lost in Seattle the next morning as they cleared out their lockers, you know, Rodgers was a different guy. You could just tell he knew that how difficult it will be to get back to that moment, and just the level of, I'm going to make up a word, pissed offness, that you could tell he had in that next morning.
No, I think it's a word. I've used it before, actually. Go ahead.
Oh, good. we're both geniuses.
You're legit, man.
I guess, in the verb, yeah. You could just tell that he knew what a moment opportunity wasted and lost that was, because it's that hard to do, and you're not supposed to lose a game like that. Okay, so then let's keep going through the chronology. So, you're not going to probably make a big change going into 2015 because you should have been in the Super Bowl, right? Okay, a lot of freak occurrences happened that kept you from the Super Bowl. Maybe 2016, though, going into 2016 would have been a good chance. Maybe going into 2017 would have been a good chance. And then obviously you saw finally going into 2018 that they really shook things up. Mark Wirfy changed the power structure. Ted Thompson was ousted from his GM position. A new defensive coordinator is brought in. A new offensive coordinator is brought in. I think the question that you have to ask yourself is, was that 2 years too late, or at least 1 year too late? Because if the Packers are, and they're probably fortunate to be called this, if the Packers are one of the five or six best teams in the NFC, and again, I'm not even sure that that's true right now, you will have to play the underdog card, not just this Sunday in L.A., but you'll have to play it all year if you're going to get back to the Super Bowl. If you don't get to the Super Bowl this year, which, by the way, will take place when Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old, it's not like the Rams are going to get worse. I mean, their coach is 33, their quarterback is 24, their defense is mostly young and improving. They have guys locked up long-term like Todd Gurley it's not like the Rams are going to go away next year. I know the Eagles are struggling a little bit, but it's not like they're just gone and they're just going to be completely forgotten and be an afterthought for the next several years. So it's almost like you needed, you know, and I don't want to say in hindsight because I felt this at the time, but it's easier to say in hindsight. Like you really maybe needed that Khalil Mack splash because you have been getting bypassed in the conference, and I think you're starting to see that played out now as Rodgers is clearly in his mid-30s. He's going to turn 35 at the, you know, in what, 5-6 weeks from now,
mm-hmm.
in early December. You know, and now you're staring up at a conference that has kind of passed you by.
I still think they can turn it around, and thank God that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady both won Super Bowls in the latter portions of their careers, because nobody had done it over the age of, I think it's 30, 31 or something to that effect, until they did it in recent history. It was an astounding statistic. So I started to scratch my head saying, well, at what point do you finally feel that there's a necessity to all of this? So finally they won it in the latter portion of their career. So it gives hope for an Aaron Rodgers as he goes to 35, 36, 37. But it then begs the question, how long did you wait, or how many years did you waste by not making a move, and personnel-wise by kind of, quote, picking it up? I get it, because I think Mike McCarthy doesn't get nearly enough credit sometimes for the job that he has done as a head coach in taking what is kind of a subpar, because let's be honest, okay, everybody wanted Dom Capers out. Whew. Dom Capers is gone. Thank God the defense can now flourish, finally. And you've got a guy that's going to utilize all the talent in the way they should, because he doesn't play a 3-4, doesn't play a 4-3. They're going to be better. And where are they? It wasn't Dom. We all said that. It was the guys that Ted was choosing, square pegs, round holes, overpaying for mediocre talent, and here's where we stand today. So they've got a better secondary. We can all agree upon that. They're still looking for a pass rusher, just because they're not growing on trees. They've got decent guys in the trenches, and we just heard the San Francisco 49ers say, we're running away from Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels. That's all you've got. Mm-hmm. The loud statement is not, look how good Daniels and Clark are. The loud statement is, look how everybody else sucks. We can run it down. You know what I mean? That's a loud statement. And that's coming from the 49ers, for God's sakes. I don't know. It just, when you come out of the self-scout and your best message is, well, we probably have to have a few more attempts. Well, maybe your defense needs to get a stop so you're not playing from behind, therefore you're not throwing the football constantly. Then maybe. Or don't defer. Then maybe at least you're running the ball early on.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting thought. Mike McCarthy does love to defer if he wins the coin toss. I think there's a couple of things to hit on there, Bill. For one, what was it, the 2014 draft class? 14, 15, 16, 17? Or was it the 2015 draft? The draft class where Ty Montgomery was the fourth-round pick, he's the only guy left from that draft class. The Ty Montgomery draft class, he's all that's left, okay? So there were a couple years of wasted draft classes, and none more so than that year, because, I mean, Ty Montgomery is...
Yeah, think about this. You had Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, then they picked Ty Montgomery, Jake Ryan...
Third-round pick, you're right. Jake Ryan.
Then Brett Hundley, Aaron Ripkowski, Christian Ringo, and Kennard Blackmon. That was just a few years ago, and only Ty remains, and he remains a part-time player.
I was going to say, he's maybe your 30th most important player, maybe, you know, and he's the only guy left from a draft class that was, you know, any draft class is important, and you need to turn out more talent than what they did that year. And then, you know, the part about, you know, Capers versus Patton, I mean, we knew there was a talent gap that Capers was working with, but I think sometimes change for change's sake, which is not always a good strategy, but it's sometimes just necessary. So I think most people, and Bill, maybe even you, would say whether Mike Patton turns this thing into a top five defense or not, it was probably still necessary to make that change. But it still doesn't mean that the horses are there to take this over the top. And I think the secondary has been improved in the last two draft classes. Kevin King, Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, I think that's all great. Kenny Clark, you know, Ted Thompson had a lot of misses in recent years. Kenny Clark was a major hit for Ted Thompson in the first round a couple of years ago. You know, they have enough guys, I sometimes think, but you just kind of then look at the overall picture and you say, then why is this team in some ways lucky just to be 3-2-1? Now, I do want to say, Bill, before you let me go, is that I'm with you in the sense of something you said in that last piece was, I don't think that this season is like over. I don't think that this is the best the Packers can play. I don't think that they are going to finish 8-7-1. They are better than that on paper. I think they're better than that in what they're going to, you know, figure out and what they're going to solve. You would just think, and it's hard to say it's going to happen against, you know, what seems like an unstoppable Rams team or going to New England and having to beat the Patriots, because you could be 3-4-1 before you blink all of a sudden coming out of the bye. But it just seems like this team does have it. There is some missing talent. There's no doubt. There are some, you know, below average position groups. There's no doubt about that. But I still would think that if Mike McCarthy has something up his sleeve to solve all this, something beyond just four rushing attempts, that they should turn it around. But you're looking up at the toughest part of your schedule here over the next month, and that's what's going to make it even the more difficult, because it's not like, you know, you're going to have some of the what thought was maybe cakewalks a couple weeks ago, Buffalo, Washington, and Detroit, and and I think the only redeeming thing in the whole part of it is that, you know, yeah, the Vikings won yesterday, but the Bears, who looked pretty good for a while at 3-1, are now 3-3. No one's running away with the NFC North. So if you can stay in it and you can just maybe even sneak into the playoffs and try to get hot, the season is far, far, far from over. But let's not sugarcoat that there's a lot of things they have to address before that.
No, I completely agree. Paul, good stuff. I know we ran over, but love the conversation. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks,
all right,
so much,
pal. Think of this real quick, okay? Out of the 2013, 2014, and 2015 draft and develop Ted Thompson days, think of this. 28 picks, only 5 are with the team.
That's crazy.
That devastates an organization.
No doubt.
Devastates an organization. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.